The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
And it is the soul of Jefferson.
Thus says Mama Jefferson.
That's right, and I ought to know.
Good morning, my dear. How are you?
Good morning. I am good.
Good. This is Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler, and we are broadcasting live from downtown Reading at KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and you can stream us at kcnrradio.com, kcnrradio.com. And we stream all over the world. And we also archive forever.
And that's how I get it, because I never listen to this show on Sunday morning.
There you have an expert's opinion right there.
Yeah.
How are you, brother? Back there?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing good. Yeah, we're going to have Kevin Cry is going to be coming onto our show here as soon as he gets here. He said he was going to be a little after 9. So in the interim, I want to bring up a couple of things. We are going to have questions, if you want to ask them, at 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And we also have two lines. So you're able to have a situation where, you know, you can call in, and we do have two lines. Something else I want to say, too, is that when we have guests in and we bring them in and we show them courtesy. So when we have sometimes people call in and they're a little passionate about something, I don't mind the passion. I don't mind even the hard questions. What I do mind is personal attacks. So I'm just giving everybody the heads up right now. And this goes for any candidate because we've had them all on, and we're going to have them all on by the time it's said and done by the end of April. You know, if you have a question, great. If the question can be a tough question, that's great. But again, we just don't do personal attacks, and that will be it if that starts. So I'd like to introduce him if he'd stop moving, but as soon as he stops moving, that's hilarious. Okay, I'm going to tell the story. Can I tell it?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. First of all, I want to introduce Kevin Cry. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, sir.
Is hilarious.
Good morning.
Kevin doesn't like to have the little muff around the microphone. And so what we did is we intentionally changed it from the one it was and put the one that was in the corner. When Kevin came in, he took the one that we put on there so he'd have a clean one and put the dirty one on.
It was like a pink one. I didn't want to talk into a pink one.
Oh, come on, man. Well, maybe you don't want to talk into a pink one.
Well, I just, you know, I like the red one. There's something about the red microphone.
Okay, well, if we have you on again, what we'll do is we'll just make sure we, you know, you'll never know what we're going to do.
Yeah, when I see pink or like an aqua blue, I think about the No Kings rally and the people's hair. So that's, you know.
Well, I have to have one that matches my outfit.
Oh, there you go. There you go. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing good.
Good.
Anyway, we are here with Kevin Cry. He is a supervisor of District 1 here in Shasta County, and he is running again. So, as we move on here in our program, we're going to go over some things a little differently, especially when we have a candidate that already has a record to run on. So, the first couple of things I want to ask Kevin is, what are a few of the things that you have done that you feel pretty good about as far as what you did in your first term? So
yeah, I mean, there's quite a list. You can go to votekevincry.com. We have, you know, quite a bit of information on there. But, you know, the most important thing I think that I'm, I mean, there's a lot of things I'm proud of, and really pride is not something that you're really supposed to you know, indulge into, but I'm thankful for the opportunity of making sure that, you know, we have a balanced budget. We are on sound, financial ground at the county. I mean, we've done that with no new taxes, and we've protected, you know, the essential county, services while keeping government spending completely under control. And we would love to give, more money to more departments and, you know, give raises. But if you look at the city of Anderson, especially the city of Reading, I mean, they're just in financial, like, just, it's bad. And at the county, in the last 3.5 years, especially 2 years, as chair, we have set us on a great footing. And then also, you know, I ran on 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago, fighting for local control. And we are now a charter county. I think we're the 14th charter county of the 58. We're the latest one, probably going to be the last one for quite some time. And local control, now that we have a charter, we can build on that. And that's the intention, is to build on that. And, you know, and it had been tried in the city of Reading and in the county multiple times in the last 70, 80 years, as far back as I could see or go back. I know Patrick Jones said the last time the city of Reading tried it was in the early 2000s, and it failed. So, you know, we got it through at the county, you know, and I led that. And then, you know, lowering costs for families and businesses. You know, we eliminated, one of the very first things I did as chair is we eliminated impact fees. Or we've actually stopped them, and then until our budget balance is spent out, then we can actually move to eliminate them entirely. And that's the thing about impact fees. Like, you know, when you pay money and you don't get the benefit of the money you paid because the government is hanging on to that for 10 or 15 years, then obviously you don't need the impact fees. I think they're unconstitutional, and people say, well, who's going to pay for that growth when it happens? It's going to be, you know, all of us and not the builders. Well, it's like we haven't grown more than up or down 1,000 or so residents in the last 20-some years. Their Nexus study said we were going to have 250,000 people by now. Well, that's not true. So, you know, we made it more cost-effective to do business. And we're going to see that come back tenfold as interest rates slowly creep down and the economy continues to turn around. And then also, in that same vein of lowering costs, you know, I led the audit of, you know, we had 15 fees that were audited, 13 were found to be wrong, 11 actually were negatively impacted the taxpayer, 2 of them actually benefited the taxpayer, so we fixed those, you know, and we're going to continue to audit those. And then in terms of things that are in the works right now, I mean, there's a lot of other little things, ancillary things that I've done, but those are the big ones. And then for me, being able to expand access to healthcare, like, that's really, really important to me. And some of the things that, you know, I'm tackling now or want to finish in the next 4 years, some things, you know, that I'm working on, you know, really could be finished or well on their way. And then some are going to take a lot longer, but someone has to start those. You know, Terry, like, when I started training kids in the, you know, late 90s, I was told you're never going to be able to make a living training kids in Shasta County. Like, kids don't have personal trainers. Well, I did that, and I did it for years, and was successful at that. And then when I started a talent agency, oh, you're never going to be able to represent, you know, pro athletes and movie stars and singers and songwriters and all the different things in Reading. It's just, you're just too far. Well, I've done that. And, like, I'm not afraid of doing big things, but I don't have to talk about them. Again, in politics, you have to bring those up. So it feels a little bit, you know, self, you know.
Grandiizing.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a couple of questions about clarity. You talked about local control and a charter county. Explain just maybe 2 things quickly that a charter county can do that a county at large or whatever it is called can't do.
Sure. So if you're not a charter county, you're what's called a general law county.
General law,
as right. You know. I mean, and you and Janet are 2 of the most, you know, up to, not just up to date, but, like, understanding really jurisdiction. I would say both of you by far are the, when it comes to, like, radio talk shows, like, the experts in that stuff. So, you know, there's things that are within the county's jurisdiction. Like, for me, like, I put 2 measures on the last ballot. And what I learned was, because during the Charter County one, I just sponsored that myself. I didn't go out and get, you know, support, didn't get co-sponsors. But because of politics, you know, a group that were just absolutely never Kevin Criers, you know, rallied to shoot those down and sowed, you know, distrust or questions
about. Again, I guess the question as far as I guess.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. The thing is that what I want you to explain to the folks is the difference in what a charter county, just a couple of sentences in what a charter county can do that you can't do.
Yeah. So if it doesn't violate state law and it's home rule, you can make it. So and this is where I was going to go with like the Prop 99.
Okay.
We have Prop 99 and around personal property rights, and I wanted to make sure we put something in place in our charter. So if they ever repealed Prop 99 and the government tried to take people's private property and give it to a public entity or another private entity for gain, that we would have it in our charter that the government can't do that.
Okay, so prior to Prop 99, they could do that.
They could do that.
Okay, so if Prop 99 gets overturned and becomes state law, you'd be violating the state if you put that in your charter. So how does that work? How does it work for some things and not for others?
So for that, well, the thing with Prop 99 is that if they were to repeal Prop 99, then you know, we would be stuck. But if we had it in our charter to said, no, if it's
before
ever...
Before they did that.
Correct, yeah. And because I want to make sure that... And again, I said this, you know, back at the... Like, my very, very first forum was like the red, white, and blueprint thing that was down in Cottonwood. And this was prior to the Modi recall, the successful Modi recall.
I'm pretty familiar with that.
Yeah, and so I had... And what I said, and I'm living that out, is I'm thinking 5-10 years down the road of what could the state of California do. Now that I've been in office, now and I've seen AB 969 and other things like Prop 50 like come down, now I'm really aggressively saying, look, there are things right now that we can't affect because it's state law. But if we put it in our charter and they ever try and roll it back, we're going to protect the county.
Okay, so what you're saying is the charter county can protect a rollback on something. If they want to say, okay, since we passed it, it's retroactive to 2015. So what you're saying is a charter, which would be basically a charter amendment, would go ahead and,
and it would have to go to
make
a ballot.
Within our Constitution that they couldn't do that to us.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's that's important to me. It's important that because right now, obviously, I mean, how many amendments have been made to the Constitution? I mean, you would know this better than I would. In the California Constitution, we have like what, 2,000?
No, 900.
I mean, I know it's a lot. Yeah. So 900. So, and I'm not sure what the average in other states is, but I do know the state of California. Yeah, two. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're probably right.
Well, other states do not have what California has, and that's the initiative process and the referendum.
Yeah, they don't have. Yeah,
and the constitutional amendment process by the people. It's some do, but not all do.
Yeah, it's unique. See, each constitution is unique in that Article 18, Section 3 of the California Constitution gives us the right of the people to change our constitution through initiative.
Yeah.
We can't amend it, but some states don't have that. You have to live with it. Some states don't allow recalls.
That's right.
For a local government.
When those were put in the California Constitution, they were considered progressive.
Well, even,
and they still are.
But even, again, like in terms of allowing recalls, but Gavin Newsom still put it in that if there is a recall of a supervisor, he gets to pick the replacement. And so we just saw, like, with...
I think it's more like he has an option, even though it's not said that way.
It says May.
It depends, May, yeah.
Well, I think that was in direct response to Shasta County.
Yeah,
I believe it is. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is I can't imagine Prop 99 getting repealed. But what I saw with Prop 50 and the gerrymandering of our district, I mean, we are going to lose all federal representation. And we already don't really have representation.
How does that affect us as a county? Because, again, you're right about that. We have now five Democrats, and we'll lose. Well, Kylie already went to an independent. He went to Klein's state. He's not a Republican anymore. So we're going to go to mostly all Democrats. How does that affect us federally as a county? And then I'll just say one more thing, and I want to get your response on it. Because a lot of people have come in and we've been talking about what's going on now, or what went on last year, or what went on 5 years ago, or what went on 2 weeks ago. But really, in January 2027, our whole world changes federally as far as the Congress goes. So
greatly. Changes greatly.
We cease to exist.
Yeah. I mean, the way we exist is we exist to serve the people of the South. That means our water, our forests, our small business, our tax dollars, all of it. And for me, you know, again, like, we don't have a big wolf problem in District 1 in downtown Reading, other than some of the elites that try and raise our taxes. But we'll leave that as it is. But the voice, you know, federally about somebody like having our back about, you know, reintroducing the grizzly bear. Now it's going to be, oh, it's a great idea because, you know, they're all for it because if Huffman or Hoffman, and I always mix up, which one is it?
Huffman.
Huffman. So, you know, if he winds up being our representative.
He is.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, he's not going to go back to D.C. and say, hey, we can't have grizzly bears up in Shasta County and up in that district, like, you know, or Trinity County or Modoc County. I mean, he's not going to be that voice.
Well, it's sort of it's a bit of a nail in the coffin, only because we already have an assembly in the state of California that 60 out of 80 are Democrats and 5 Republicans vote with the Democrats, and we have 30 out of 40 senators in the state with 10 that are Republicans, and 3 or 4 of those are iffy. So the state thing's already a mess for us. It's already a complete mess for us.
Yeah, it is.
And federally yeah. Now we're going to have a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, let's go back to the Charter County.
Sure.
You know, I think that what's happening here, for the most part, and I think people really need to start looking at January 2027, because the world does change for us dramatically. How far out on a limb should our Board of Supervisors be going to keep the rights of the people? Now, and then I'm going to wrap this up real quick. We've got a situation.
Write that down, Janet.
I'm
just kidding.
I write it all down.
You're talking about calling the kettle black.
Exactly.
I took a nap. Well, I had the first 5 minutes of the show. Okay. So, with this happening, you know, we're going to have to protect ourselves. We had Prop 50 was a real eye opener. 11 counties that are contiguous that touch each other in the northern area voted almost 70% no. In fact, your district was 59-41, which is a more liberal district.
It might have been 57.
Well, whatever.
It was closer than
most of them.
Yes.
But
exactly.
Still. It was still a no.
Yeah.
Okay, so the point is you have 11 that vote no, and then we have California passing Prop 50 with a yes by 66.3%. We don't have any say. So at what point do we finally say the rural counties, and maybe not all of them, but at least the rural counties in the northern half of the state, we're going to have to kind of stand up and just say no. And at what point do the supervisors go, okay, well, I know it's state law, you know, and this is going to happen and that's going to happen, but, you know, hey, we're going to tell the state no and just buckle up.
Yeah. Right? So here's the thing. And I'm going to change the language around it a little bit. So when you talk about in January 2027, it's, you know, it's an end game. It's this or that. I look at it like this, like once Prop 50 passed in the state, I looked at it like, you know, when a tree is dead, when an arborist said this tree is dead, but it still is there for 10 or 20 years and has leaves and it's slowly dying, you know, it's slow. So I looked that day and said, okay, that's it. The tree is dead and we're still going to have shade. It's still going to be there. It's still in the ground. But the minute that happened, I started working with county council and then some other county supervisors. And that's why I brought, James Gallagher up, because I said, okay, so, you know, I'm not reactive. Like I'm not a person that is caught off guard or surprised at this point by much. And so the minute that happened, I called James Gallagher and said, all right, I'm preparing for what the next 4.5 years looks like. And I'm going to start moving my chess pieces now. I'm not going to wait till January. I'm not going to wait till an election, because that's where we are. And we're not there in January. We're there now. And that's why some of the things I know you're probably going to ask me, you know, what are some things that I want to bring the next 4 years? Because again, I'm looking at things that I know we're going to be able to do that are really nonpartisan issues that even the staunch liberal Democrats can get behind. Because it's
okay, well,
just,
let me just for clarity,
sure,
just for clarity, my
absolutely.
Friend, you got the whole hour.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but just for clarity, the Democrats get behind. Well, we're about 70% Republican in this county. So, are you talking what Democrat?
I'm talking about federally and at the state level. Okay. When we talk about dollars as a supervisor,
okay, go ahead.
That I'm going to try and work with our legislators. I mean, Plummer has been working with Schiff. Okay. I've been working with Padilla's office a little bit. And so, you know, there has to be, and this isn't about cutting deals or reaching across the aisle. It's like, hey, look, when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to safety, when it comes to roads, fires, I mean, this stuff doesn't really have political parties. And if we could just knock down the rhetoric, then we can actually get some stuff done. And I do know it's going to be a lot harder because, picking up the phone and calling Doug, you know, that's no longer a thing. And we're going to have James there a short time, and I've been working with him a lot, just about, all right, you're going to be there, you know, 3-4 months. Let's see what we can, you know, get rolling and get done. And he's, you know, answering the phone. And again, it's an election campaign time. But I believe James would do that anyway, because he calls and checks up on me about my health and my family. So that's just the kind of person he is. So it's important for me and anybody else, like, to try and make that same effort, you know, with the gentleman down in Marin County, because we have to get, you know, we have to get the aid that we need. And it's tough because, you know, they're not going to care as much about us. So when it comes to standing up, you know, and what we do, like, well, I've already done that, like, you know, with whether it be AB 969 or whatever, but we're going to come to a spot where the rubber's going to meet the road, and we're going to have to just take some pretty aggressive stances.
Yeah, I think that that's the only way to do it, because even with James, I mean, he'd be the first one to tell you, the first month he goes back to Congress, he's going to be ineffective. He's going to be learning the ropes. That's just the way it works. So you figure if he's back there in, you know, maybe through August, September, so really October, November, and December is really it for him as far as him helping us. And really, in essence, it's the type of thing where I'm really not sure what he can actually do. I know he'll do the best for us.
Yeah.
Well, he can vote in some Republican issues that they need.
He can
Republican
do the same thing Doug
for.
Did. Yeah.
And they need that vote right now for something
big
coming
time.
Up. But he won't be there long enough to make a difference.
And then we go back to, District 2. But again, I guess the thing that really is kind of frustrating to people is we see really great leaders, great young leaders that are coming forward in the county. And, you know, leaders that we've had in the past, like Patrick Jones, you know. Bill Chappelle was a good leader. As long as he lasted, he was still a good leader. But the thing is that we, you know, as we look at that, we see you guys coming through here. I understand that you see a bigger picture than the average person does, because you see an economic picture of what you're going to get from the state, what you're going to get, you know, from the feds. You see that big economic picture, you know, what you can do that's best for, that's going to be best for anything we're going to be needing. And, we have a guest.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing when we talk about, you know, what's coming, you know, I think what people have to do is they have to assume the worst. And it's not, when I say people, it's not just conservatives. I mean, what I did appreciate about some people that voted no on Prop 50, they said, look, this doesn't make it right. Just because our party's going to benefit doesn't mean it's right. So I'm going to vote no just on the ideology of it's not fair to take representation apart. And those are the people that give me some hope that there is some common belief of, you know, this is not right. And it shouldn't be a one-party system. It is.
Yeah, it is. You know, by saying that, I didn't mean our guest, Kevin. I mean, we had a guest walk in into our building here by the window and sort of peek in on the inside of the building, walk in the front door.
She was here to pick up tickets.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that, buddy.
You're welcome.
She was a groupie.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think that we're coming into times where we really are going to need to just stand. And I think that even if you get 3, 4, 5 counties together, but I mean, there's a lot of things happening. You know, we do have Measure B coming up on the ballot with voter ID, et cetera, a lot of different things that the charter amendment proposal is asking for. And I think those things are things that people want to make their elections fairer. And I think that on the state level, at least for the most part, we're never going to get much change there because they like it the way it is. They'll get elected.
And every time we try to change it, they pass legislation that won't let us.
Exactly right. And we're going to take a break right now so we have a good, strong 30 minutes with Kevin. When we get back, if you have a question or a comment, lighter on the comments, more on the questions, call 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. If you want to ask Kevin Cry a question, and time's come.
For 51. We're getting it done.
We're getting it done.
Yeehaw. That justice is the one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your balls. You got to draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune. And we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces singing.
Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight to the annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Dinner. Since its start, the Reading Rancheria Community Fund has granted over $4.6 million in support of our community. This year, we celebrated the amazing organizations that we've been able to help with a special surprise bonus award of $10,000 being given out. It is with your help that we will be able to continue the amazing cycle of giving. The annual Reading Rancheria Community Fund Wicked Dinner was brought to you by this station and other proud sponsors.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Hi, I'm Tamara Wood, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is currently accepting applications from individuals interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or to obtain further information, please visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Grand Jury is one of the most important volunteer opportunities you can be part of. The deadline is April 10th. Get your application in today. To apply or get details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Be part of the solution. Apply today.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReadingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReadingBarbecue.com.
Can try to silence every on word, but I will not be leaving quietly. Now I won't leave. I won't leave. I will not be leaving quietly. You can mock me.
Sally Lou. Sally Lou and her music too.
Yeah, she always does a good job.
I'm glad your email is back up so we can get Sally's.
Oh yeah, that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Microsoft. Talking about a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. I have a question for Kevin.
Oh, nightmare.
What are your plans about getting rid of the license plate readers?
See, everybody cares, even though we've discussed it.
Oh, yeah.
It's still out there.
So, yeah, the whole thing with that is there's no expectation of privacy when it comes to your license plate. And for me, you know, this issue, again, a lot of it comes down to oversight and it comes down to the system. And the system has to have checks and balances, and those balances are in place. So if they were, you know, doing facial recognition stuff or movement patterns or other stuff, which they're not doing, I would have issue with that. But when it comes to a license plate, you know, if these big constitutionalists, all right, you have a driver's license, do you pay your taxes, do you go to the DMV, then you're not a constitutionalist because that's not in the Constitution. So people like to pick and choose, and when it comes to their license plate, there's no expectation of privacy in that. Now, when it talks about a red light camera, I don't like red light cameras.
Well, actually, the Constitution does say you can face your accuser. So, you know, the Constitution does, it has nothing to do with the Constitution. The laws are basically illegal because they're an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, too, just so you know, I mean, a license plate reader, you're saying it just reads the license plate. Well, I know for a fact, I have gotten one of those red light tickets before, and my face is right there. So facial recognition is there, and also with some of these license plate readers and things like that, I know they can take pictures of the people in the car and everything else, because I had an accident that happened on my property, kind of a hit and run, but it got resolved, and the police found this woman who was on her way back to work, found her and recognized her off the picture they had of her, off of one of these readers on the camera. So you can't really say that it doesn't do anything else. You get the word of a police officer that it doesn't, or you get the word of the sheriff that it doesn't do that. But it's got nothing to do with the Constitution. The Constitution has everything to do with the freedom of the people and the binding of the government. But with both of these things, you know, I would understand a license plate reader maybe to a degree if it wasn't like next to the Maverick gas station.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you where I won't say change my tune, but that does give me pause. When the Record Searchlight starts doing articles about all the Amber Alerts and this and that, I'm like, wait a minute, this left-leaning media is constantly reporting on these. I'm like, well, that gives me pause. It's like, well, wait a minute. Like, if these crazy liberal news organizations are trying to, like, substantiate why they're such a good idea, that starts to make me think, well...
How many Amber Alerts do we have?
I don't know. I don't read the Record Searchlight. I just get the alerts.
No, no. How many Amber Alerts do we have? We've had one in the last 5 years.
I'm sorry. Not Silver Alerts, because the thing in the Record Searchlight, and again, I just see the email title that says, and it was giving a list of all these seniors that they've found with these cameras in the last X amount of time. And but again, here's the thing, where, you know, if I find for a second that it comes back that these are being used in a different way than what we were told, I'll be the first to say, look, we got to get rid of them. And that's like, and I'm not, the difference with me, Terry and Janet, and I won't say the difference. I'll just say for me personally, you know, I'm able to say, you know, I was wrong, or I don't know, or I'm sorry. And sometimes, being married 26 years, I'll do all three of those in the same conversation. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm not going to double down on, you know, like the whole stupid loyal thing and stuff. It's just like, I'm just a person that can say, yeah, I was wrong. You know, and I don't feel like that vote was wrong at this point, because I've had extensive conversations, with the sheriff, with the undersheriff, with IT, and understanding part of it. And what I mean by part of it is what I'm told, I believe. But here's the thing. If it's found that they're not being used the way that I believe they were intended, I would move to get rid of them. But until then, and I will check up, because that's what I do. I go back every 3 or 6 months.
What are they being used for exactly? I guess that's the thing. What is a license plate reader actually being used for?
Follow the money. Who benefits from the license plate readers? And did we get a grant for them? Was that the idea?
There's, you know...
And why did someone feel it was so important to give Shasta County money to put in license plate readers? Why? Why does someone want...
Well, sometimes there's money allocated, you know, to all 58 counties, and then whether you choose into that or not. And so for us, on the license plate reader, it's, you know, if there's a stolen vehicle, so that license plate number goes in. So it just flags it. It flags if there's a license plate that they're looking for. Somebody has done something in San Diego and they're believing they're going to be making a break to Canada and they're going to possibly come through. That's logged. So for me, again, but you know, we can spend the other 30 minutes on this. It's up to you. But to me, like I said, from what I understand with them, like, I'm okay with it.
I think you've made your position clear on this, that if you find that it's not being used in a proper manner, that you would vote to take them out.
Yeah,
and I think that's all we need to know.
Yeah, and what I just want to, like, really reiterate, like, I'm told that it is just for making sure that if there's one license plate that comes through, it's flagged, and then if they're looking for somebody. So it's like, for me, I have my license plate, I'm driving through, I'm probably never going to get stopped because my truck's not stolen. But if my truck is stolen and it drives through one and it's flagged, then maybe I'll get my truck back. Or if there's a senior citizen that is, you know, hasn't taken their meds and they go out for a drive. And that's, I mean, again, but I can understand people's apprehension because, you know, if I was in LA, I wouldn't vote for it.
I timed them. The questions were under 30 seconds. The answers were all well over a minute.
Yes.
But that's okay but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I mean, you're thorough in your explanations, which is really good.
Measure B. Where is it going? What's going to happen? Obviously, it's going to be on the ballot.
I just want to make sure I have time to talk about my three things.
I promise you
okay.
will.
Okay, good. No. So measure B. I was absolutely for everything that they want to do. Me more so than almost the people that created it, because I was the one that faced the public and was the deciding vote to get rid of Dominion, move to Hand County, and go down that road. So, and again, I was in three very tight elections. And where I'm different than some of our Republican members of Congress is I'm still questioning the authenticity of some of the process, some of the ballot, not the sanctity of just the ballot, but the voter rolls, and then also the chain of custody with ballots. And again, three elections, I made it through. So, but I'm still asking those questions, because if I was elected and there was any cheating for me, I would step down. I want to fix the process. And I think there's a lot of process that needs to be fixed. With Measure B, it obviously violates state law. But I said, actually, in this room, well over a year ago, that if the signatures were gathered, I would stand behind them, because that's the will of the people and that's the process.
But the other supervisors don't. But I want to hear the three. First of all, we have Dave on the line.
Well, so I want to make sure I answer Janet's question, though, because for Measure B, like, I will vote for it. And I know it's illegal, but the reason why I think it's important is I think it needs to send a message to the other 57 counties when we have Carl DeMaio's issue on the ballot.
And that may make some of the issue not even important anymore.
Moot.
Yeah, moot. But again, like, I told some of the organizers of Measure B, like, hey, this is what you should do at the state level. And one of them said, oh, that's way too much work. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Dave, you, what say you, sir? And we kind of want to make it pithy. We have a couple of things we need to get to. Dave.
Okay. From the most recent available annual certified financial report for the county, the unfunded accrued net pension and OPEB liability is $446 million, and that's the 800-pound gorilla in the room no one wants to talk about. So I was wondering, what is the plan to deal with that?
Well, it's not necessarily the 800-pound gorilla that no one wants to talk about. It's an issue that we actually talk about quite a bit, and that's the reason why, as we look at eliminating positions and making sure the raises that have been given out in the past, that those are capped. I mean, there's a reason why a lot of unions and a lot of groups come in and are screaming at the board, because if you look at the raises or the COLAs we've given, they're very, very paltry. And that's because we have to be able to get this under control. I mean, this is a issue that's been going on for 30-plus years. And what we've done, the very first thing you do in combat, and again, I wasn't a combat medic, but you have to assess the situation, then you have to stop the bleeding before you can actually treat and try and cure or rehab the individual. So what we've done right now is we put a tourniquet on it. We have stopped the bleeding of that, and now it's about addressing going forward what are some things that we can do. And what's really, really tough is when you talk about large unions and pension plans, et cetera, you can't just go in and say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore, and you just cut it. I mean, you're basically stuck with the hand you're given, so going forward, we make sure that we're not adding to that. That's a great question.
It's only $446 million. The city of Reading is almost a billion.
Yeah, exactly. So
almost a billion.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying only.
No, yeah.
Sort of in a snarky way, because that's huge. But city of Reading's a billion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know what I want to do, and again, this is something. This isn't one of my three things, but you know, we have in our cost plan at the county, you know, we have services that the state requires us to do. Like, you know, we have people vacuum our offices that maybe a supervisor or a person hasn't been in an office, but they still vacuum it because that's what they do. And I would love to see, and this is going to scare people at the county, but I would love to see more services privatized where we're not paying the pensions.
That's a great idea.
And we're not paying the,
great idea.
We're not paying the, you know, the liability, the opportunity for lawsuits or workers' comp, and then, you know, so again, it's not about eliminating jobs, and this is what's really tough, is I don't think we have a bunch of nefarious employees. I just think there are jobs and positions in the county that can be privatized, and that just spurs the local economy. It brings jobs. It saves the county money. But that's something, again, I don't just stand up and thump my chest, because it's been a process, and that's something that I've been working on it. I'm going to continue to work on it because, you know, it's like, that's why it's called politics. It's, you know, I wish it was called policy. Like, you know, it's like, I'm a policymaker, not a politician, but I get it. I'm in office now. I can't say I'm not a politician, but I'm pretty unapologetic when it comes to, I'm not trying to cut people's jobs. I'm trying to streamline our government and save us money and put more money to the things that really only the government can help and assist with. And I don't think, you know, groundskeepers and a bunch of other stuff, because we have a lot of hardworking people at the county.
No, we need four more votes anyway. So, yeah, actually, maybe two more.
Andrew will be here.
Andrew from Bernie. Andrew, we want to leave Kevin 10 minutes to give 3 points of what he wants to do. Anyway, so go ahead, buddy.
Okay, regarding license plate readers, Winston and I are against them. It takes four panhead screws to remove two license plates. If you wanted a bogus argument, if you wanted to escape from San Diego to Canada, change plates, and then you're off the radar, unless they're reported.
You live where again, Andrew? You live where again?
Huh? Say again?
You live where again? You live in Bernie, yeah?
But you're
assuming these people that are breaking the law are intelligent.
If you think you're a criminal and get away with it, you're not very bright. But you're rudimentary. You would change your plates if you're trying to escape, steal a car, put fraudulent tags on different plates. I mean, you could have a stash of them.
It's on every police program. And
yeah, well, so here's what I feel, and I'll just tell you, because again, we're talking about this. And what I feel like is, I feel like if I'm a basketball coach and I've got a championship game, I'm not going to spend my entire practice talking about an inbounds play. I'm going to talk about defense. I'm going to talk about offense. I'm going to talk about big picture things. So for this one issue, making it very, very clear, it's really, really intentional, and explain to me of what these do and why it's a positive thing. Here's my commitment to, you know, yourself or anybody else, is I will do an in-depth interview on my show about this with Sheriff, with some data,
I hope you take Q&A on that, because the sheriff has done some things that are borderline nefarious.
I'm not remotely
like a SWAT team behind.
But I'm talking about just this one constitutional issue, because for me, it's like the Patriot Act, right? We now know about spying on our U.S. citizens, so. Mm-hmm. In 9/11, that gets pushed through because it's like, hey, we got to look at this. Well, that was actually like a Trojan horse, the Patriot Act. Like that wasn't all it was cracked up to be. But again,
that's true.
People looked at it like, hey, we got to be safe. That's true. Who doesn't want to be safe? All right, are we getting to the three things, Terry?
Yep, we can. All right. Andrew.
So
have a great day.
So here's the thing with my three things, Terry.
Wait just a second. We have to be.
The Patriot Act was an executive order that has not been re-signed. So it's now null and void at this point. Yet we still could carry on with the game. I also feel the same thing about the license plate. Excuse me, the red light camera.
Okay, we got to move on.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, you know, well, you asked, you know, you answered the way you answered the question, he was going to come back.
Well, yeah, but
anyway, you've got the three things.
This isn't so much a debate as it is just like, I mean, I made, I'm not apologetic about it. Like I said, like, I will be the first to admit, Terry, to you, to anybody, that I was wrong. Right now, I'm not wrong. Like, because the information I've been provided for any vote, is like, hey.
Yeah, you got to go with what's in front of you.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So here's the three things that are, I'm sorry, Jack, go ahead.
No. Three things. I want to hear the three things.
Because here's what's really important to me, and this isn't talked about. In the city of Redding, there was a bridge over Buena Ventura, which was a south fire, well, not just fire, but there's an infrastructure project that I really, really want to lead. I'm now the board chair of CERTA, which is the SARTA, which is the Shasta Regional Transportation Agency. And it's been in the city of Redding's general plan for 50 years. And then they took it out. And, you know, and there's a lawsuit right now with Jack Baker suing the city of Redding. And again, he's won every lawsuit he's ever done. So we'll see where this one ends. But there was obviously some major issues with the car fire and evacuation routes, because you saw it in Paradise.
Yep.
And the only reason it didn't play out much, much, much worse in District 1 is because it happened in the afternoon. But if that had happened at midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, we would have seen probably a death toll very much like Paradise. A lot of people would have lost their lives. And as it was, tragically, 8 people lost their lives, including firefighter German.
So how are you going to?
So I'm sorry.
That?
So for me, it got, now I'm rushed because I only have five minutes.
I
get it. But here's the deal: is there is
there's
a, okay, thank you. There's an opportunity for a bridge over at Buenaventura, and the cost that has been thrown out, I believe, has been highly escalated because what we want, what needs to happen is one, it needs to be a safety evacuation route in the event of the next fire, not if,
absolutely,
but when.
Yes.
And, but also what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to reroute a lot of traffic. So you're not going to have these big rigs barreling down Eureka Way, going by high schools, going by where kids frequent. And it's going to be so much better to be able to, rethink how the whole downtown is structured, like two-way traffic.
Jurisdiction
like California.
Of county.
So we have jurisdiction
okay.
in terms of
okay.
at the city council with CERTA, and it is a big, big lift. And, but you know what? The Charter County was a big, big lift. Beating the failed recallers and the hundreds that just spewed lies was a big, big lift. I'm not afraid. I mean, having cancer and a heart attack within 3 months is a big, big lift. But it isn't slowing me down. And I think, actually I know, that people will say, well, there's no funding, there's no this and that. Well, you know what? Don't come to me with all the reasons of not.
How do we do it?
How do we do it?
Yep.
And now that I'm the chair, voted in, voted by my peers to be the chair of CERTA, I'm going to lead that. And I know that we're going to be able to make Reading safer, more efficient. It's going to be great for the business community. And I have different developers who necessarily maybe don't get along, but they're all on board with that. So I've organized the people. And again, those neighborhoods of Bel Air, Vistas, Land Park, Stanford Hills, I can go on and on. They're all for that because basically what the city council voted was let them burn. Let them burn.
And that's all within District 1, too.
Absolutely. Let's put, you know, 400 or 500 new homes yeah. in District 1 with no south evacuation route. So that's the first thing. The second thing, the second thing for me is like the medical school. I've already started that. You guys are well aware of the traction that's gained and how many people are on board for that now. And again, I had to fight immense battles, so to speak, because people cared more about politics than policy and about
how is
health.
That, how is that with the rest of the board? Are you getting the rest of the board on board?
Yes. Well, the rest of the board was on board in terms of, you know, we had a we've had a few 5-0 votes in moving this forward, but this is even not even just going back from the consultant, but where we are now. Now we're actually getting to the spot of where does that funding come from? And having meetings with Dr. Pond's team and Dr. Rita Nguyen. With the public health office, she's connecting us with opportunities of funding at the state level. Of course, very hopeful. Congressman Gallagher is going back looking at USDA dollars. You know, Congressman LaMalfa had worked on it a little bit, but now that we have Simpson, not just on board, but we have Davis and then UC Irvine and others that have, we mean, we've already increased residency program numbers in Shasta County with this initiative, but I want to see that through. I want to see a shovel in the ground. You know, the next 2 or 3 years of that being built because it's an economic boom. And, bottom line is what I've learned in this process of having, you know, obviously, cancer and then a heart attack is the access to care. And, there's a lot of things that we can do, better. And the actual number of residents I've actually met with because I've been in the ER or I've been in clinics and they've reached out to me, it's been a blessing. It's crazy to say that cancer and a heart attack have been a blessing. But at the end of the day, it's opened up conversations that I probably would have never had and experiences that I would have never lived through. So now I'm just that much more of an advocate for it. So these aren't like little things. I'm not saying I want to put a speed bump in a neighborhood or I want to put a stop sign up. I mean, we're talking big, big infrastructure, Shasta County changing things forever in terms of a bridge, infrastructure, and dollars coming in as well as a medical school. And the last thing, too, is I'm going to continue to protect the taxpayer. I mean, you'll see my signs that says Shasta's tax fighter. I mean, I don't just talk about it. Like, that's why we've audited these fees. And a lot of people run on, we're going to do a forensic audit. Well, once I got in there, I realized there are some internal audits. But when you look at, you know, well, an internal audit is the same people. Well, but look at our results. Like, I've had our auditor controller, Nolda Short, she got on board for it because she said, look, if there's fees and things that we got to do better, let's take a look at it. So this shows the leadership that I've brought along with our auditor controller, Nolda Short, that says, hey, we're going to look at these fees. She looks at them and she comes back. I mean, there's no higher person of character or integrity than Nolda Short for her office to come back and said, look, we audited these county fees. 13 of the 15 were wrong. So we don't have to hire an outside agency to do that. Like the city of Reading just dumped $300,000. Right away, like, that's not how I do things. I'm not going to hire an outside consultant if we can't do it in-house internally first. And when you have people who feel free and open and safe to say, hey, look, Kevin, this was wrong and we're going to fix it. I mean, high five. We don't have to just argue and be angry, because I'm not angry. I just want to get to the truth. I just want to make it cheaper. People are getting crushed by prices, you know, and then, you know, and I have a, you know, a person running against me that wants to raise taxes and give raises, and it's just insane. You can't do that.
Talking about the person who's running against you.
Well, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, talking about that and raising taxes and all that good stuff. The city of Reading seems to be the, I don't know whether it's an elephant or a donkey in the room at this point. I think it might be more of a donkey in the room, if you get my meaning. They keep most of the problems we have in Shasta County and expenses are due to the city of Reading. I think one thing we need to have is maybe a little more interaction between the city and the county in some way that every time we turn around, things are just, more things are happening in the city. We've had out on Bonnie View, okay, we had that one, not on Bonnie View, on Eastside Road, we have the bridge that's being built over there next to the Wind River Mini Mart, right? That thing's been going on longer than the Golden Gate Bridge took to build. What's going on with all that sort of stuff? I mean, that's a city issue, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, from what I understand, there's a park off of Lake Boulevard that's supposed to be built over by Panorama, and then now the money's gone, like it disappeared or it went to another fund. And I don't check it. It's in my district, but it's a city of Reading issue. And at the end of the day, when we talk about, you know, and I did a post on my social media, and you could go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook and look at the post there. But I don't, you know, in the past when I didn't have a record, you know, it's always about rage against the machine and we're going to rise up and we're the people. But, you know, I've got a record now and I'm going to stand on my record. Like, I don't have opponents. I'm going to run for Shasta County. There's a lot of things I'm doing and I'm going to continue to do that benefit the county. And so I'm not going to necessarily concern myself with other people's platforms.
Well, yeah. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because some people think that those are the problems that the county's creating.
No.
And they're not and most of the problems we have like that economically is really the city of Reading.
What's tough about it, sorry I cut you off. It's your show. No, it's your show. I cut you off.
That's the point. I mean, the point is that the council is being blamed, the county council is being blamed for problems that the city council is creating. I mean,
the
board of supervisors.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, point, yeah, most people knew what I meant. But yeah, you're right.
There's a difference between councils.
There is, and supervisors.
And the big difference, see, the thing with the city of Reading, and this is why, because it's 90,000 people, it's half our residents in the county.
Yeah.
I mean, if like Burney, Fall River, Lakehead, Mountain Gate, Cottonwood, Shingletown, if they had big issues in their little, I won't say little, but they are little, you know, geographically they might not be, but population-wise they're small. If they have huge issues, it's like it doesn't affect people, 90,000 people, or if something that maybe happens in Shingletown. And what happens though with the city of Reading is that mismanagement, that's the central hub, and it's really the central hub north of Sacramento. So
as alarming as the unfunded liability.
And they destroy
the county has, the city is almost double.
Well, yeah, and
it's crazy.
But you look at what happened in 21 and 22 and the votes that were made, and one person still sits on that council that made those decisions in 20 and 21, and they just want to gloss over it. And it's like, hey, look at the records. I mean, the records don't have feelings, they don't have emotions, and even the statements that were made. I mean, it's crazy to me. And again, whatever this election comes down to, like, I am very thankful serving on the two boards I served, and even as the dysfunction of the past board, with, you know, two people that would, you know, vote against air if I brought it forward, or oxygen. but at the end of the day, like, we got a lot of great stuff done, and we're getting a lot of great stuff done, and it's going to continue. And, you know, the third thing, as we talked about, for me is, I can't stress enough, I'm not going to ever want to bring a tax. I'm never going to want to say, let's grow government.
Yep.
That's going to be the last thing I want to do. But it's not because I think the people are bad or evil.
Yep.
It's because some of the things we just don't need.
Yep. And how can people help you, get a hold of you, donate to you, whatever the case may be? Go for it.
Well, I'm always going to say the first thing you can always do is just pray for me, pray for the county. Whether you believe in it or not, I would just say, you know, pray for my health, pray for my family's health, pray for just the betterment of the county and the working families. And I mean that, because there's a lot of people hurting and it's hard to watch. The second thing is you can always go to votekevincry.com, or you can go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. And, you know, I have a little event this Thursday. Reach out to me via email, and you can email me at for my campaign at Kevin at votekevincry.com. And you can always email me, even if I'm not your supervisor, at kcry@shastacounty.gov. And if you want to email me about the cameras, email me at kcry@shastacounty.gov, because I love the discourse. I love the conversation. I have coffees usually every Friday at 8 a.m. at Kaleidoscope on Athens, and I always check my Facebook for it. Terry and Janet, thank you guys so much, and you guys truly are a blessing to this community, and I mean that, because you guys do the work that few other people do, so thank you.
You bet. Time has come.
For 51.
Better get it done.
Get it done.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.